announcements. First, this Thursday is, of course, Thanksgiving Day, and we will have just one Mass in the morning at 9 o'clock. It always seems to be about the right time, so you can still get home and get the turkey in the oven or whatever you need to do with that. And also, it'll be here in the church. And at that Mass, we take up a collection that goes to the needy here in Aiken. So all of that collection will go to the poor. And secondly, it's my great joy to announce that the gift shop will be reopening beginning tomorrow. And it's open between the end of the 8:30 Mass until the Spanish Mass begins. It will be closed next weekend, the Thanksgiving weekend, so our volunteers can be with their families, but as December comes, it will be open on the Sunday mornings. As we get more volunteers trained, then we'll hopefully expand some hours to that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. For this I was born, for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. With that sentence, Jesus teaches us the secret to real intimacy with God. Each one of us who allows himself or herself to be led by what is true will be drawn by doing that into communion with Christ. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice, he says. We will hear very clearly, and we will have the courage from the Holy Spirit to heed God's ceaseless invitations to follow him more closely, to follow him to real and lasting peace and happiness. And every single one of us here wants to be happy. That's what we want. And God wants you to be happy too. But God knows the way for that happiness. And that's why he has brought us this faith. But being led by truth requires humility. It requires recognizing a higher authority than myself. If I am obliged to discover, accept, and conform to what is objectively true, morally, physically, historically, then I am not self-governing. Then I am not the master of my own universe. I am, in a word, not God. Far too often we seem to strive with all our might not to conform ourselves to what would make us good citizens of heaven, subjects of the eternal King, Jesus Christ. We instead allow ourselves to become severely nearsighted. We can't see beyond this world and our own choices, our own desires, what this world has to offer. We become then satisfied with earthly power and glory, even when it so clearly opposes God's truth and goodness, and even though we know it will pass away, it doesn't last. By doing this, we seem to commit the sin of presumption, that is, believing that we can say and do whatever we want right now, even saying and do things against God's goodness and justice and love, and God's mercy will just wipe it all away later. Friends, doing this is playing God. It is ordering God around as if he were our servant. Now you must forgive me because you're merciful. I don't care what I've done. But courageous and humble acceptance of God's truth is the only way to follow the eternal King and to experience the fulfillment that comes from being a faithful citizen of the everlasting kingdom of God. Why has our world given up on looking for the full light of truth? It has given up, if you haven't noticed. Early on in his pontificate, Pope Francis published his first encyclical called The Light of Faith. In it, he pointed out our current dilemma. So I quote, "Slowly but surely, it became evident that the light of autonomous reason is not enough to show us the future. Ultimately, the future remains shadowy and filled with fear of the unknown. As a result, humanity renounced the search for a great light, truth itself, in order to be content with smaller lights, which illumine the fleeting moment, yet prove incapable of showing the way. Yet in the absence of light, everything becomes confused. It becomes impossible to tell good from evil, or the road to our destination from other roads, which take us in endless circles going nowhere." Pope Francis continues that there is an urgent need, then, to see once again that faith is a light. For once the flame of faith dies out, all other lights begin to dim. The light of faith is unique, since it is capable of illuminating every aspect of human existence. A light this powerful cannot come from ourselves, but from a more primordial source. In a word, it must come from God. Faith is born from an encounter with the living God who calls us and reveals his love, a love which precedes us and upon which we can lean for security and building up our lives. End quote. I know that was a long quote, but he hit on everything. Do I have to tell you that the world is confused, right? Do I have to say out loud that this world doesn't seem to have a very clear vision of the future or where it is going? That is because it has abandoned truth and the search for truth. Our culture even has the hubris to say that there is no truth, or if there is, that no one can really know it. But think about that for a minute. As we pointed out countless times, it is a ridiculous statement to say there is no truth. It's ridiculous because that statement, there is no truth, would itself have to be true absolutely all the time. The world is lost and confused, and yet you and I, as disciples of Jesus Christ, are called now more than ever to step forward and show the way, to be a light. In 1968, Mother Teresa finally gave up and allowed a journalist to come and film her. She had put it off for as long as she could. And finally, she had gained too much attention by doing so much good. And so, BBC sent a man named Malcolm Muggeridge, a British journalist, and he was doing a documentary called Something Beautiful for God. Muggeridge was a world-renowned author and TV personality during this time. And so he went and visited her at her home for the dying. She had opened this place, an old Hindu temple, turned it into a place for the dying. And he began to set up, and they didn't have any light in the interior. And so he filmed some things out in the courtyard, some of the residents who were there, because they thought they'd at least have some footage. But they also decided to go ahead and just try to film inside, even though it was extremely dark. In the studio, as Muggeridge was looking through it and doing editing, he found that the scenes taken from the outside seemed dim compared to what was happening from the scenes on the inside. From the inside, he saw, emanating from Mother Teresa, this warm glow that went about the room. The sunlight paled in comparison to it. They have caught it on film. You can see it. Muggeridge was not exactly the person who should have been doing this. He was an avowed atheist. But he wasn't after this. He did not go into it looking for faith, but he found it because she had let the light of Christ shine through, and it illumined for him a way to God. It can be done if you and I are humble enough to let the light shine. So, in order to do so, we ourselves have to make an important choice. Stop straddling the issue. Individual Catholics, now more than ever before, have to make a deep personal choice and answer the question Jesus himself posed to his apostles: who do you say that he is? Who do you really think Jesus is? Do I allow Jesus to rule my life? Why not? If Jesus is really Lord, our King, and our God, the only sensible response is to make a total commitment to him and total obedience. He is God, after all, eagerly wanting to know what he teaches, eagerly wanting to follow what he is asking us to do. It means becoming true missionary disciples. A lot of Catholics need to be awakened to this kind of radical commitment to the Lord, because it is the only commitment that Jesus asks for in the gospel. Jesus is not asking for a lukewarm commitment from anybody. In fact, in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, "How I wish you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." Revelation 3, 15, 16. So we must take a more active role to step up as disciples that we are. Now, if all week long we are filling our hearts and minds with worldly, even sinful images and information, what do you think will happen? We will then become these people. We will begin to think worldly, sinful things, even if we still come to Sunday Mass. And then it should come as no surprise to us if we are not experiencing the interior freedom that Christ promises us. We cannot blame God for this lack of peace if we're filling his space with all these other things. If we're not feeling God's presence, we have to ask ourselves honestly, what am I filling up my mind with? What am I filling up my body with? Following him faithfully requires actively seeking him out, spending time each day with him in prayer, just as we would with anyone we love, to talk to them, spending quality time each week studying our faith. In a world that is rebelling against its true king, unless we as Christians who actively, visibly follow Christ, if we don't do that, we will slowly slide into the rebellion ourselves. Do you allow Jesus to be the ruler of your life? He is real. He is alive. He will come to this altar and be your food. He is our King. Jesus' kingdom does not belong to this world, which means that we ultimately do not belong either. Choose right now whom you will serve, whom you will worship. Choose to worship the King, the true King of the universe. Follow the truth, who is a person, Jesus Christ. And as he tells us, the truth will set you free. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand.